The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
I'm Robert Venditti, the writer of Exo Man of War and Green Lantern, and you're listening to Nerdy Show.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Matt.
I'm Jonna.
And I'm John Laval.
And this is day one of E3. The E3 conference itself takes place over 3 days, but there's a whole fourth day of conventions, and that is this day, day one.
Technically, I would call it day zero.
It's zero day.
It's whatever. Zero day.
It says day one on the podcast graphic, so it's day one. Overruled. Sustained. Thank you. All right, so E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo. Three E's, that's why it's called E3.
Thank you.
Mind blown.
I know that.
I assume you, listener, know why you're here. It's because it's the biggest video game event of the year. And this year in particular, you know, we've covered E3 for many years. We've seen some big stuff happen, but nothing quite like a new Sony console and a new Microsoft console in the same year. And tensions are high, precedents are being set, arguments are happening. It's a pretty big year, and this day we saw the Microsoft conference, the Ubisoft conference, and the EA conference, mm-hmm. and the Sony conference. There's no Nintendo conference this year. That's happening via Nintendo Direct message that's probably out by the time you listen to this. We're as in the dark as of this recording as you may or may not be. We're kind of find out more about Nintendo. I'm sure we'll have a lot to say in tomorrow's podcast. There's going to be 4 days of podcasting. So we did a couple live streams. We were at Microsoft and EA, and we have I guess we have EA, our interactions on EA with EA recorded.
Yes.
And also we weren't at the Sony conference, but we did stream along, and so we can link to that as well. It was a good time. Thanks so much to everybody for coming out, talking with us, and sharing our your reactions along with you guys. I guess the best way to cover this day is to take it in the order that it came, and that's starting with Microsoft.
The X-Bone Conference.
The X-Bone Conference.
Which is what it's actually called is the X-Bone, for all you people who don't know it.
The Xbox One, affectionately called the X-Bone.
Well, because it's XB1. I mean, that's the marketing department's fault.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they should have seen it coming. They really should have seen it coming.
How do we feel about it?
Also, if you hear crazy shit, it's because we're from Orlando.
We're on the move.
We're in Los Angeles. We're on the move, and there's some woman with a crazy fucking dog outside. So, you know, it is what it is.
All right, so what did we like about the X-Bone conference?
Well, I think the conference itself was leaps and bounds better than the first one. You know, they stayed away from...
What do you mean the first one?
The reveal.
Oh, yeah, the...
Oh, that was just awful.
This conference is basically just like, here's all the games. We're not doing anything else, it's just games.
And they stuck to what people asked for.
This Xbox conference was blow for blow exactly what was expected when they just said it's going to be games, games, games. They introduced the system, they told us about a bunch of features that nerds and gamers alike don't really give two fucks about. Maybe some of the television stuff, maybe... But
didn't they say there's like over 100 new games coming out this year alone for the 360?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I was like, whatever.
Yeah, the games that you can't play on the new system, thank you. Well, the all-in-one system, except for the thing that you just produced and the games you're still supporting, including Grand Theft Auto V.
We don't know completely about live arcade or other things, too, because they did say that some titles would be available digitally.
Yeah.
If the discs wouldn't work, that they would be available still.
Yeah, a good number of those 100 games are probably those.
Probably arcade, indies, things like that. So,
They announced a new Minecraft for the Xbox One.
Yeah, I think that was just an expansion. It's not even worth talking about.
It's just to take away the limitations of the original. It's the same. It's just,
we're going to be the guys who say the words Minecraft.
But wait. Isn't it the first unlimited map size?
No, they said bigger maps. They didn't say unlimited. They said bigger maps.
For the first time ever.
Okay, so yeah. So this is one of the many new buzzwords you figured out. It's for the first time ever an open world.
It's like an open world game. We heard the words for the first time ever continuously. Thanks to Max Acree for pointing that out initially in the chat.
Every conference did that though. Yeah, it's like this is the first game that'll have an open world system where you can. And it's like no.
They said open world an awful lot. Given that like open worlds have been kind of a common thing for years, they're really touting it a lot.
It's like they just invented it, and GTA never existed.
One thing I want to ask about Minecraft before we like completely bypass it, is it still the most played game on Xbox Live?
Geez, I didn't know it was.
Yes.
They had
some statistics that I was surprised about, because I don't know why you want to play Minecraft on anything that wasn't a computer, you know?
Yeah, Minecraft for at least a time was the most played game on Xbox Live, and I'm curious if the reason why they're throwing it on the One, or at least throwing an announcement that it's going to be on the One, is because they want to retain that status of, you know,
right.
So many people keep on pushing Xbox it. Live Gold.
Yeah, the things you might care about that are just fact-wise, it comes out early November. Xbox One comes out early November, and the price tag is $499, which is, for something that I'm kind of on the fence about, a lot higher than, I mean, you know, maybe the hardware is really, really great. It's supposed to be, you know, an all-in-one media thing. But there's no selling points for me just yet. I mean, there's really...
There is, because it integrates your tablet usage. You have to use your tablet for all the games now. And so, you know, it'll be great. You can use your tablet for something.
Last year, the buzzword of E3, without a doubt, was asymmetrical gameplay. The Wii U is defined by it, and Sony could do it via the Vita, and Xbox to do it via the tablet.
Yeah, any tablet.
And they have just not been able to shut up about it. I don't know why anybody cares. It's like an accessory.
The strange thing is, though, is it was always just briefly mentioned, like, using his tablet. They didn't, like...
It's a throwaway thing.
Yeah, they didn't throw it in your face, like, though. It was just, like, from his...
Spotlighted it every single demo.
What about Dead Rising?
Here's the tablet part of the demo.
Dead Rising 3, they announced that it looked really pretty. It was really great. All of a sudden, they're like, oh, but you're surrounded by zombies. There's no way you're going to get through. But hey, I'll take out my tablet and order missiles to drop from the sky. You're like, where the fuck did you just get missiles? And like, how are you getting through that area without a tablet?
Because you don't know the story yet, though. I mean, in Dead Rising, there is a whole army out there fighting.
But how are you going to get through those zombies without a tablet to drop nukes everywhere?
You got
to
play a little hard.
And what happens when your phone or your iPad dies?
Well, I assume if you're near a game console, you can have it plugged in.
It's just
not
like
wireless anymore.
It's like, so you've got to buy the system, you've got to have a tablet, you've also got to have an online subscription, so the fees keep fucking piling up for no reason.
It's not a required thing for gameplay. It's
no, but it's just, it does seem like throwaway stuff, like, oh, we're just going to add this extra gimmick.
Well, it's the Rumble. I will say, though, like something like a command mode in Battlefield returning, if that's tablet only... I didn't actually catch whether or not it was.
I don't think they wanted you to catch whether it was or not.
That would suck.
That is a huge like advantage disadvantage when it comes to the console version. I got to imagine if command mode exists, then obviously you can on the PC version you can do it just from your screen, and then you probably do it just
PS4,
from your
PS4. The touch, there's a touch screen on the controller.
Yeah, but it's not anywhere near the size of a tablet. I don't think it's.
No, we can probably move around.
Right up front, you know, there's a lot of heated feelings over Microsoft and all the things they're doing right now. Something that doesn't get said enough is that there's this big controversy over not being able to play used games and all these weird policies about like DRM, where a license is extended to you and everything. And there's a bizarre fact that we've grown to ignore because it hasn't been important for ever since software started becoming publicly available. All games are licenses between the purchaser and the company, and they extend the license for you to use the games within the parameters that they define. So this whole culture that we've absorbed of playing used games and trading it and everything, that's technically been a gray area, and it's within the rights of the company to define it. What sucks is that those companies, what Microsoft's doing is bullying a whole industry and being extremely closed-minded about what people have become accustomed to because they want control. Whether or not it's within their rights to do it, they shouldn't be doing it. Like, it's very selfish and corporate and weird, and it upsets everyone.
You use the word selfish, but here's the thing. I mean, let's use the lowest common denominator of a game. What's a popular game? A game you think people really only got a used game? You know, maybe an unpopular sequel or
Too Human,
right? So let's say, what would you say? Maybe 30% of those sales were used games.
More than that.
That's more than 30% of royalties that didn't get paid to music artists. Royalties that didn't get paid to other people get royalties. Like, well,
is that not the fault of the people who created the game making a bad product that nobody wanted to buy in the first place?
It's absolutely not their fault. It's not like people go, I'm not going to buy Too Human New because the composer really sucked. I mean, there's people that still need to get paid. They still need to get their money.
They're not, I mean...
But don't you think they didn't buy the game in the first place because it wasn't good?
Do composers get royalties? Yeah. They're not played a flat fee?
No, I think you get royalties based on copies.
This is that weird also, the nature of, something being created as art, whether it's music or video games or movies or whatnot, within capitalism, it doesn't really work because of things like that, being able to, use games and things. That's why they used to do it as patronage from, rich lords and kings and, whatever.
The creation of art, yeah.
Yeah, the problem is now art is really expensive in certain
industries. That's why Jeremy Soule had to crowdfund his symphony, because no one would fund a symphony privately.
And that's why I think things like Kickstarter and whatnot, even for people who already have money, the Zach Braffs making movies and things like that, actually still makes sense, because nowadays it would make sense if lords got to crowd, lords got to extend patronage to these artists, that these days, with the people having the power, that you would be able to crowdfund the things you want. So,
but with patrons, though, and patronage, that's, we are their patrons.
Yeah.
And those kings paid for that to be made. You want things to have a decent budget, and you don't want games to go up exponentially. You don't want online pass. You don't want DLC. Well, all these things came from a leading industry.
The ownership of, I paid for this, it's mine now, is the basis of everything.
It is yours, but it's not yours to give.
That's transfer. That's complete nonsense.
But it's there in the license.
One thing to keep in mind is that with used games, they're people primarily get those from GameStop, and GameStop makes all their money from used games. If they weren't allowed to sell used games, they wouldn't even want to sell new games, because they barely make any profit on that. So if that option is taken from them, why would they even want to bother with the new games?
I mean, I don't like GameStop, but this is they're willfully killing a whole industry.
What are they going to do? They're just going to become the PS4 store.
I wouldn't assume that the majority of their revenue comes from used games. I mean, you see a lot of hardware flash sales.
John worked at a play and trade.
Not the same as a GameStop.
I also worked at GameStop. The cost of a Xbox and a PlayStation, the hardware itself, accessories, they made a lot of money.
Yeah, accessories, but
the consoles, not so much.
Yeah, new games, the profit margins were very, very tiny, because they just want people in the store so they can buy.
Well, that's the other thing, though. People have been complaining for years about GameStop. Oh, it's not fair because they only give me $1 for my game. So now we take away that system, and now people all of a sudden think it's the greatest thing on the earth. So listen, audiences are fickle. People are fickle. We had this problem with the VCR, we had this problem with Napster, mm-hmm. Now we have this problem with video games.
Well, there have always been a huge group that trade in and don't have a problem. They're just not vocal about it.
Let's use the example of servers, online servers. How are they going to maintain their online services, right?
It has to be always on. I mean,
No, I'm not talking about always on. I'm talking about multiplayer.
Yeah.
The servers aren't free.
Right.
They're not donated by anybody. They cost millions of dollars to operate.
I'm just saying that they're creating their own system. A live connection is mandatory now. Multiplayer is the norm, and whether you like it or not, it's the norm. It's kind of enforced on everybody in a lot of ways. It works for some things, obviously, but not for everything. It's weird. It's a paradigm shift, and I'm not... I feel like... the problem here is the way they're going about it. For starters, they didn't confront a single damn one of these things today at the press conference.
And I don't think that that's what the press or media briefing's for.
No, it's not. But also, shortly after the previous conference about the initial launch of the console and everything it could do, that's when all this stuff came out. So, to my knowledge, nothing's come out about resolutions to the final word on these problems yet.
They did mention a system, not at the press conference, this was previous to the press conference, about being able to, they said you're able to buy and sell and use games. It's up to the publisher if they want to restrict that or not. That was my understanding of what they had released before that. And maybe we can get some clarification on that. But
yeah, I don't know.
And I know it said that like certain authorized retailers can do it, so I assume that's GameStop, since otherwise GameStop would just be like, okay, we're not going to sell your new games anymore. Good luck with that.
My favorite part of the conference for the X-Bone was the part when they're like, we really listen to our fans.
Yeah.
Right. And like they like stressed that, and I'm like, well, then why didn't you
that
address
was their
the
end
whole
to discuss it?
Use like well, the use games
though.
Thing and everything.
They did, though, because people, the first thing people said, well, were all the games. All I saw was TV and sports. Well, guess what? You got games. And they're not going to, you can't expect them to address something that controversial in such a, what I'll call a low definition, you know, low fidelity thing as a stage. Well,
fast forward, the end of Sony's conference directly confronted every problem anybody had with Microsoft, and
they took it to a level that was kind of inappropriate,
kind of awkward.
Yeah, it was a low blow. It does not say that they didn't, you know, that Microsoft doesn't deserve it, but it was also a cheap shot that I'm certain got a lot of people's attention. Like it's easy for them to be like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, we're the best, eat a million dicks.
Yeah, then they posted a picture of people going like with their arms in the air celebrating, and it's like, we won, we did it, because, you know, fuck you.
And the thing is, too, is that the real, you know, fallacy of the console wars is that there is no fucking console war. They know that if you're the person who's going to buy two systems, you're going to buy two systems. They know some people are going to get Xbox, some people are going to get Sony. If
so why don't they just combine already? Well, just combine. Yeah,
that is about 5 years. Maybe
it'll be called
years.
The X Boney.
That is, they don't compete with each other anymore. They compete with the consumer.
Right, like, exactly.
Every company, they are all, it doesn't matter what industry it is, every movie studio, you know, talks to each other, and that's why they don't compete each week, you know,
parks. They raise prices one after the
and
other.
And they know that when a big, you know, big ride opens at one park, they're going to get attendance at the other park.
Yeah. And they wait for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, in Orlando, it's like Transformers is opening, then, you know, the Seven Dwarfs thing will open, and then the other thing will open, you know, they don't hit everybody all at once, because they know they'll kill the market if too many.
A good example of the symbiosis is Marvel Comics and DC Comics have to always simultaneously exist, or the entire comic industry will be destroyed.
Right.
Like, that is just a fact.
It's like, kind of funny.
It will
in a
cease
way.
To exist.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So, that's some dramatic shit. Let's cut to the games. Because
that's actually what this conference was about. All the other shit was stuff you should have already known.
It's super refreshing to actually be able to sit there and have them just dump games on you.
So, let's talk about each one.
And everybody was actually really good about it this year, except Sony. We had some, in past years, it's been all like, it's like they're just, you know, I know it's a trade expo, but it's like they're talking to shareholders the whole time.
Yeah.
But this time, except for some huge egregious moments during Sony's conference, everybody else got it, and we had a good time. So
X-Bone game.
Yeah, X-Bone. They led with a new series called Rise with a Y.
You know,
Son of Rome.
I actually, the entire time, I was following along. I was kind of trying to.
Did they get a rise out of you?
I was gonna say I had an X-Boner. Sorry. I think
the game looks
cool.
Really pretty, and it looks really cool. However, there's this thing they did, which they do in every game now, when you attack an enemy and suddenly it tells you what button to press
quick time
to kill
them. It's
called QTE.
Yeah.
They get old after like three times. Like, okay,
they did it literally.
I don't want those anymore.
They played for like 10 minutes and literally did like 100 button mashes of of that, and
you
it was
just saw
like
the same movie.
I would be bored
over.
Of it already.
I'm already
bored of them, and I haven't played the game.
The other thing that I thought was funny about it was it totally could have been an awesome Kinect game. Even if it would have been on rails, whatever, most of it was on rail. It looked like it was on rails.
Oh, yeah, it looked like a rail game.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely.
I mean, imagine pointing at your...
And where do they... And they kept getting...
Just a demo, but...
Here's one part that I hate. If you're going to try to make a super realistic game, make the fucking game super realistic. There's a part where they all form, like, a barricade with shields.
The phalanx.
The
Roman phalanx.
And then they bring up spears and attack them. But then when they run out of spears, they just magically pull a new one out. And they just keep pulling new spears out.
Maybe there's little Roman boys following them behind them.
Yeah, and I'm like, where'd you get those spears?
If anyone hasn't seen it, what it looks like is it's just the kind of God of War style, like, very vibrant.
I'd say it's 300.
Yeah, it looks like 300.
There was a little D-Day in there too.
It's got some seriously epic art direction, mm-hmm. and
it's visually stunning.
It fits the genre of QuickTime event based hack and slash games. The only difference is that if you have soldiers in the area, you can command them to do things, and that's it.
But I thought that it was kind of ballsy going with a Roman Empire kind of deal, because right now it's all sci-fi and fan. You know,
the thing about this game is that there have been games set in historical periods, like, I mean, granted, this has Microsoft backing it, so, like, it's going to be a blockbuster because they're telling you it is, right? Many companies have developed historically based, like, games to follow a standard playstyle. This game follows a standard playstyle. It's been tried and true as far as, like, you know, God of War and everything goes.
They basically copied a playstyle that is successful.
Right.
And went with it.
And slapped something new on it. It's funny to me that this is such a big deal for them because it seems forgettable. Like, maybe there's going to be some dramatic story there, but it doesn't have a hook.
There are a lot of games like that that have been made over the years, and they usually just fall under the radar. So yes. They're really trying to push this one.
Well, I think what helps this is always what happens, it's a launch title. They did mention that.
Right.
And there's always that franchise that gets born out of simply being a launch title because people need to buy a game.
Yeah.
I mean, so that will... I mean, there's always... If you look at any launch lineup of any system, there's always that franchise that started because... Oh, well, I need to buy something.
And it's
not that great of a game necessarily. Sometimes it is. You know, sometimes it's not.
My hope for this game is that it will actually have some really compelling story elements, and maybe you'll actually get to... Because, like, the ability for video games to accurately recreate worlds long past is unlike anything else we have at our disposal right now. So they have in their power to do some very impressive historical feats and let you really feel like you're in one of the greatest civilizations that's ever been on this planet. If they do it.
Yeah, and if he's a Roman military leader, there should be a political component to it where you rise to become a senator or an emperor. Yeah, you rise.
With a Y.
You should become, you know, like a, you know.
So
at some point you can rally your troops to sack Rome and become an emperor.
And here's the surprise ending. You actually become a Caesar.
Yeah.
And you actually, and you have your life.
I'm having a Caesar. All right,
your final mission could be that you defend Rome.
Okay, so this game is an exclusive, whatever. They showed a long video of Metal Gear Solid 5, which was weirdly done.
Fast forwarded.
And that's not an exclusive, so I'm not really sure why they showed it, because it's coming out on every system.
I think they showed it because Metal Gear 4 didn't come out on any system but PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think the other reason why it's important for Microsoft is because it did look like it was something that the Xbox One could really shine in the graphics department and the GPU type deal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked really good. It's never been done before
open world
and then
Metal Gear Solid.
Showed us
first time
and
ever.
Showed us basically Red Dead Redemption.
So it's never been done before.
It just happens to be Afghanistan and not the American West.
Yeah.
Thanks. Right.
Which, by the way, looks a lot like Red Dead Redemption.
I think they took the same map and just dumped in Metal Gear shit.
Like, I know it's supposed to be like it's Afghanistan, but like the buildings look like they're made from like Adobe.
Well, I mean, like it's a similar terrain. I mean, really, that's all there is to
it. I don't know what time period it's supposed to be.
I mean, they have electricity.
Yeah.
In Afghanistan.
Is it supposed to be the Old West? Is it supposed to be new? What is it?
Ocelot looks young. Snake looks younger than than Old Snake.
He looks
weird. They called him Broken Snake, and he has a bionic hand.
A tortured soul or something.
I don't know
what
the fuck is going on with the continuity
here. Africans.
Game. Terrible trailer.
But it's going to be completely cinematic.
Which is, in many ways, part of the course for Metal Gear.
Okay.
They'll always dump on weird, over-dramatized, just Japanese stuff.
Time crisis.
There was some broken English in some of those descriptions of the characters.
All right, so next game.
Huge surprise. Long overdue.
Madden.
Killer Instinct.
Oh.
Home in 1995.
Yeah.
I heard that the disc is going to be gold. No, I made that up.
I love that they copied that old advertisement. I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was available for your home in 2014 or whatever.
The thing that makes that kind of cool, too, is that Xbox has, in the past, always been the one to give those arcade fighters a second chance.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 3. Right, came out of the arcade version, came out on the Xbox Live Arcade.
So is this a remake of Killer Instinct or a brand new game?
It's a brand new Killer Instinct.
It's a brand new Killer Instinct.
Because the way...
I'm saying, but they keep going back to... I'm saying, but they give these fighter fighting games more of a chance.
The demo, by the way, if anyone was watching the Xbone conference, the demo they set up between the two supposed people were so actually cheesy, playing.
So fake. And a rape joke.
Was there a rape joke?
It was what would definitely be construed as a very inappropriate comment. He told when the girl was pretending to be, to lose, like, just egregiously, she was playing, she was, quote, playing very poorly. The guy told her to lie back and take it.
Did he say this will all be over soon?
Yeah.
Then didn't he say, like, if you tell anybody, I'll kill you or something?
Yeah, he may have said that.
And then he said, I know where you live at night for real, and I'm going to murder you.
Sounds like date night.
But it was horrible.
Didn't, like, the police take him off stage, or...
But the killer instinct, of course, is awesome. So everyone's looking forward to that.
I'm so sad that they own Rare, because I don't want to...
I know.
They invented... Not invented. They
invented.
They designed the... the avatars, didn't they?
Yeah. For some... Microsoft bought Rare after Rare left Nintendo, and that has really sucked.
It is there's been no more Conker.
At least they didn't let people just go out on the street.
Banjo-Kazooie was really weird.
Mm. Yeah. Rare was deployed to create the Microsoft avatars, which are, like, shitty, just dumb-looking.
No personality.
The Perfect Dark Zero, which was a launch title, or close to launch title for the 360, had no shred of the flavor of its original game. Like, we need a Perfect Dark worthy of the legacy, and we need it bad now. Mm. Then Rare did a great job of remixing Perfect Dark, and in fact, for like HD and everything, and in fact did it for GoldenEye as well, which is what prompted Nintendo, who wouldn't let them release it, to get their own version made via different channels. Killer Instinct, it needed a return. You know, the game, it came out in the height of arcade fighters. There wasn't anything particularly, like, super original about it or anything, but it had its own
character. It was just fun.
It was done with the same technology that was used for Donkey Kong Country. Yeah. 3D rendered graphics that turned into sprites.
Oh,
it had a good look to it.
Clay Fighter. Clay Fighter was claymation, though.
It was, like Clay Fighter, but with supercomputers.
Right.
It was this weird Mortal Kombat competitor, whereas Mortal Kombat was still, at that time, still using the actors, essentially, live action.
Which, by the way, they've never really been able to top that. I mean,
that's
how lifelike those actors are.
Yeah.
I don't know why we still couldn't do that with some sweet mocap.
We could. It's just, it's
there was a fighting game made, like, several years ago that was like that.
It's actually cheaper to do it in 3D now.
Oh, here's a good opportunity to talk about Ignite and EA Sports' big revolutionary quote-unquote
never before done
but we're not on EA yet.
Cloud processed
Anima
Ball handling.
God. Every single company that came on and presented for every conference said they made some sort of new revolutionary system for, like, ball handling and feet moving and face pumping. I don't know, but everyone had a brand new system for some bullshit that no one cares
about.
The
leg hair rendering was exceptional.
We created the leg hair 2.1 version 7.0 system.
But that when you watch those players towel off, you'll swear you can smell the musk.
But that being said, I think that what was kind of cool and was kind of, like, I know would have been glanced over by most people who, aren't into the sports ball, but in basketball, it's always been that, like, the ball is basically a prop for the hand. You know, like you said, it's been tied to the hand.
Right.
You can't, it doesn't really.
I swear,
really,
I've seen basketball games where they throw the ball down and they catch it.
It does,
again.
But it's always been. It hasn't had its own physics.
It's part of the same animation. Like, there's this, like, weird invisible wall around the hand and ball.
So when you see it bounce, it's actually bouncing as part of the character animation.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
It's always going to happen someday. What it means is that right now, this new NBA game. Actually, the ball actually has its own physics.
But does that mean if you move too fast, the ball might just flip out of your hand?
Yeah,
it has realistic dynamism. I mean, as usual, these sports games have the budget to actually push the threshold of what can be accomplished with video games.
And it will affect later games.
Yeah, I don't care about it.
Yeah.
I don't care about, like, the games themselves, mm-hmm. but the technology will be good for us.
Well, that's how we get technology for cool stuff like in L.A. Noire, where we actually were able to have real actors. you know, the people who start doing the really good scans, facial scans, are sports games.
But it's too expensive, and they never used it again on anything else.
Yeah.
It still looks better than any new game that's ever come out.
Last of Us, and what's the other one, the new one?
The Ellen Page one, yeah.
Holy crap. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of hers, but I
think that the Quantic Dream game.
Right, mm-hmm. they were really able to capture her non-acting, I think. Which is really very subtle, but, you know.
Right, so,
is there a hamburger phone in that game?
Yeah, I think so.
Another game.
For Blodgies.
I'm not sure how I feel about it, but the Sunset...
What's it called?
Sunset Overdrive. Overdrive. Which is an exclusive. How do we feel about that?
It
looks really cool.
It looks like... It looks weird at first, just nonsense fun.
Jet Set Radio?
A lot like Jet Set Radio. It's a stylized open world FPS.
Never before done.
You fight zombies in the day, and they shoot delicious orange juice out of them.
Jet Set Radio meets Team Fortress.
And you can shoot them with, like, vinyl records.
Definitely Team Fortress vibe.
Team Fortress 2 meets Jet Set Radio.
And I'm okay with that.
No, it's great.
It's super stylistic. It looks hella fun. Just watching the trailer, you're like, this game is total nonsense. You can just streak along the side of the walls. They don't even bother to come up with a reason why you can do it. You just do it.
And maybe in the time when we're over inundated with gritty, dark, dank, or overly glossed sci-fi, maybe a cartoony kind of thing would be good.
I'm so tired of the realism trend. I love it when they throw a cartoon.
See, I think it goes both ways. I like it when it's done right.
You like when going both ways feels right to me.
Okay. But,
okay.
So as long as you don't look at the guy.
Yeah, as long as there's no
lady up front, boy in the back.
Right. So
don't see him, don't smell him.
So
that's the Brandon Gerson way, is what I'm saying.
Well, there was another game they showed that really actually pissed me off.
Forza 5? You were grunting
Here's the thing about Forza 5. I don't give two shits that much about racing games. Okay, I can appreciate the work and the effort that goes into making a game, okay? Sure. However, they're like, you play the game and the game learns how you play so much that at some point, you can just put the controller down and your drivatar will take it over for you. I'm like, wait, so I can play for 2 hours, it learns how I drive, and then I never have to play the game again. And he's like, when you're at work, your car will just drive on its own, you never have to touch it again.
I was more drawn to the fact that this is the kind of thing that they're not talking about, the quote-unquote benefits of what cloud compute or, you know, cloud gaming actually is other games will begin to utilize this always-on concept so that other games will begin to, you know, where you can play against a friend of yours when he's not quote-unquote there. I didn't like the it'll drive for you, but it would be cool if having so many friends back on the East Coast and I don't have, our times don't match up to play games, and it's like, oh, well, I kind of want to play against, you know, Colin.
But I
like the way Colin overtakes me.
Yeah. There were a lot of air quotes on, like, this,
the way they set up the demo, though, was, like, he was playing it, and then he put his controller down. And it's like,
the game is
so great, you can just now watch it play for you. You don't even have to play it anymore.
But I think that's the way that you learn what your Drivatar does for you.
Plus, that name is fucking dumb. But, a Drivatar?
Drivatard.
Drivatard. You heard it here first.
Drivatard.
First ever. Drivatard.
It's about blue cars, and then, like, they hook up their spark plugs to other blue cars.
But I feel like you're going to begin to see this in a lot of other Xbox games with the always on, where...
I miss QuakeBots. Same thing.
There's a really complicated discussion about artificial intelligence behind Forza 5, because it learns how you play.
Mm-hmm.
If it learns how you play and say all of a sudden
learn or just mimic it?
Hold on. they will, if they developed a profile on your gamer tag, right? They know how you play car games. You'd be able to have a virtual cloud presence throughout all gaming, that would create a virtual replica of your game style that anyone could play. It's a weird pseudo violation of privacy in a way. It's mapping the way you behave. It's logging your personal behavior in a very bizarre way that's both invasive and non-invasive at the same time.
More reasons to not like it.
Well, so it's super frightening. But let me for the super
paranoid.
This is
how Skynet gets started.
No, for the super paranoid people out there who think the NSA is going to use the Kinect to spy on them.
Which it will.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to take your Drivatar data. You get in an actual car accident and you're defending yourself in court. They're going to actually use your Drivatar data to go, see, this is how he drives in a video game. How the fuck do you think he drives?
When he goes
in real
around
life?
A corner, he does it like this, and that's exactly how this accident happened.
So, there you go, guys. Honestly, in a way, the Forza concept is actually, I think, the most interesting part of the Xbox One because it begins, like, maybe AI is really the way, like, the future game. Maybe it's not, like, motion controls and things that haven't quite worked out thus far. Maybe it is this sort of, like, artificial intelligence always-on thing that will drive games.
With the adaptive AI thing, imagine that in, like a platformer or just an action game where a boss learns your technique and then it is really difficult.
I want that kind of challenge. It's just, it's interesting because it's something that is, it's open. It's open to the world.
Yeah. But it just, it seems really scary. Like, I think games will become really tough if that sort of thing is implemented a lot.
Movie projectors were scary to people when they thought that the train was going to run them over.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's an interesting discussion. That's all.
It's a different type of tracking completely, but it's sort of like Dark Souls, Demon Souls, like social integration of like watching other people play and approach things. Like, I think this is actually, and people have obviously responded really well to it. I actually think the Forza thing is going
to
take off.
It's oh that my gosh. It's overly insane conclusion.
I'm just imagining that.
And it's gonna keep going.
Dark Souls. Oh,
to punish you. You wouldn't be able to beat it.
Dark Souls 2.
Which is coming. Yeah, Dark Souls 2 is coming out for everything, so whatever. And I love it, but I've seen plenty of it so far.
There's a lot of dragons. It looks good.
Looks
so
awesome.
But before we move on, we do have to talk about Titanfall, because that was basically the best thing we saw.
Titanfall was a game its previews spanned several conferences.
Mm-hmm. It is only for Xbox One.
No, it's not.
Right?
Well,
no, it is. It's exclusive.
It Sony.
It is exclusively an X-Bone game.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exclusive. I wrote the word exclusive.
Was it console exclusive or exclusive? Because it might be a PC game also.
Well, it might because it's Microsoft, but it's definitely not coming out for PS4.
No one cares.
Well, anyway, it's...
Yeah, have that PC press conference, Jonna.
Titanfall looks great. It's got an aesthetic that's, you know, it's you know, space soldiers, giant robots. You know, locales that kind of look like a future Africa. Why should you care? Because the gameplay looks great. That's why.
You fight giant robots, or you're in a giant robot fighting, or you're a giant robot fighting people.
Or you're in a giant robot fighting other giant robots.
Right, I mean, it's literally...
It's endless.
There's no fucking reason...
It's multiplayer.
...to not enjoy that gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, Battlefield
style. There's multiplayer by yourself.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And then
they
throw in jetpacks? Like, are you fucking kidding
me? Oh, yeah,
but
you can
cool enough?
They do, like, Assassin's Creed shit where you run on the sides of walls, but you've got a jetpack to make it make sense.
You've got, like, this Jet Li jetpack thing going on, because they're, like, running up walls and flipping off walls and shit. Get out of here.
And the Titan robot gets deployed, you crawl up inside it, the interface is really cool, it's got its own, like...
You can actually have it follow you around and just get in it when you need to.
If you eject from it, it'll automatically, and this is a very smart, realistic thing for it to do, it'll automatically go into sentry mode and just, you know, take out enemies. It's a multiplayer game, like, it is by virtue of, like, the giant fights you're in, a multiplayer game, but they promise single-player moments in a multiplayer game. Like, to give you characters, like, NPC characters that you actually have, you know, relationships with, you know, not relationships, I mean, I guess you could.
It's not Mass Effect. Yeah.
You know, maybe Rule 34 eventually, but...
Oh, God!
But you know, you'll fall in love with characters, and you'll relate to characters.
I hope you know you're going to be fucking personally.
You'll become intimately involved with characters. Oh, God.
You really love this game.
I love it.
You're going to be personally responsible for the first Titan.
I'm Titan fallen in love here.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I know. It's awful. Anyway, spring 2014. It looks great. It looks really great.
If I did get an X-Bone, it would be for that game.
You can come over and play my X-Bone anytime, buddy.
I'm playing it right now.
Oh, yeah.
So before we move on to the EA conference, I just want to say they didn't mention anything about the new Kinect at all. They didn't show or do anything. And every game still used a tablet. So basically, here's what I'm saying. And I know this is a tangent and I shouldn't, but I'm gonna. The X-Bone should have just come with a fucking tablet, because every game uses the tablet more than it uses a Kinect.
It does, because if you're a grown-ass man, you have a tablet already.
You know what the Kinect is for? Turn on, turn off, go to a web browser.
Hold
that's
on,
it.
On. Yeah, I know they say tablet a lot, but also your smartphone will work.
Does the smartphone work?
Yeah, I have Google Glass on my iPhone.
Google goggles.
That's cool. That's way more accessible.
I mean, not Google Glass. I'm sorry. I meant Microsoft.
Right,
Glass.
Whatever.
Smart ass.
Smart ass.
You need smart ass.
That's actually... I had no idea. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, because, like, that's... I can do that. Yeah. Now I can play those games. I don't have to buy a tablet.
Included all of a sudden.
Right.
The window, I mean, there's the Windows phone, which is getting hotter. You know, I mean, it's very still very low share.
Yeah.
Physically, but, it's getting hotter.
Yeah, but physically, it's boiling.
It's just, it makes, it's just weird that in their conferences, they just didn't mention anything about the Kinect at all.
I did notice, though, they were using the Surface, which was fucking smart. I mean,
they were using Microsoft Surface?
The Surface tablets.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah, because they're into tablets right
of
now.
Of course, but I mean,
to push that.
But they did a good job, like, they didn't shove it in your face, but they, you know, it was pretty obvious.
All right, so, next conference.
Boom. Electronic Arts.
EA.
Who by
you've
the gotta way...
You've got to do it, though, before you've got to say it.
All right. EA Sports. To the game.
Funny anecdote, we were getting in the EA conference.
Oh, did I ruin it already?
You're gonna get this guy fired, by the way, but
so,
yeah.
So there's, oh, yeah. So we go up, and my pass won't scan. And the guy's like, oh, don't worry, we'll just let you in. I trust you. I said, you better trust me. I work for EA. And he's like, oh, who are you? I said, oh, I'm the EA Sports guy. And I did. I was like, EA Sports. It's in the game. And he was like, oh, my God. And he's like about to take his phone out for a picture and stuff. I was like, dude, I'm not. It's. And I know I could have gotten us some sweet, like, green room action. Man.
You crushed him. He looked really sad afterwards.
Yeah, actually, I thought he was going to cry. And then later he gave up on life because then he let you guys in.
Yeah,
right?
So. I got it.
He just said, I don't care anymore. Just come in.
No, the guy's definitely going
to
get fired.
If anyone wants to go to these conferences, apparently they just let you in.
Yeah.
So
pull up a fake QR code.
The EA conference is no security. Fuck it.
One of the feature of Kinect that wasn't fully absent is that voice control stuff was happening, like, often. And implemented well, though it was probably all faked. But
it was timed well with their videos.
Yes, it's
timed
very,
well with the fakeness.
Games auto-record by game DVR, and you can speak commands to easily edit footage together and to share. And most importantly, broadcast, because Twitch TV is built into the X-Bone.
That's cool, but I'm too lazy to go through that after every fucking match, you know?
Yeah, it's only the ones where, like, you're really raping that person. That's the only time.
I teabag this guy 10 times. Back. Yeah, it's going to turn into a bro fest where everyone in Call of Duty, when you kill someone and teabag it, you're going to post every teabag video you've
ever
done.
I don't necessarily want to watch people's video clips, I suppose, but maybe I'm playing Project Spark, Microsoft's answer to Little Big Planet, I would.
Yeah.
Because when you create, say, Minecraft-scale experiences or Little Big Planet-scale experiences, like both those games are capable of, you're probably going to want to share it. And if you do, then good thing that's built in. Project Spark, real quick, it's this thing that it's one of the few things they showed that actually used the tablet, and I was like, okay, let's talk here. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because I mean that's the easiest way to customize something like that.
I actually hated that game.
You didn't
the way it looked.
Okay.
And the way it felt, and the way they played it, and the way that they gave it seemed like, well, for the demo they showed it, see, it gave it the illusion, like, you could do anything, and it's like, here, I'm gonna start a home base, you have three options, it's like, village, and it just builds an entire town for you, like, well, you didn't really do anything. And it's like, ground, forest, it just builds all these trees for you, like, you didn't really do anything.
There's gonna be user-related content, or user-created content, they said, so.
Yeah, and I saw that you can make mini games and stuff, but it's just what they showed.
When they showed the if this is legit, if we can take it at face value for what they showed, they've combined Minecraft with, like, the worlds of Minecraft with the programming of, say, Little Big Planet or the latest version of Scribblenauts.
Or even the
simple baseline programming.
Or even above that, because there was, like, a Space Invaders game somebody made.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they showed that they were able to, much like Little Big Planet, replicate Limbo.
Like, top-down games.
Geometry Wars. It's crazy.
So it looked like there was some sort of poker card-related game. Yeah. It was definitely a card-related game.
Yeah.
It's like Trials Evolutions, where, like, somehow these mini games have, like, nothing to do with, like, the actual weird physics systems of Trials. Like,
by the way, also has a new game coming out too.
Yeah, since
two new games.
One on your tablet, an iPhone.
Oh my God, you and the tablet.
They're the ones that keep saying tablet, Brosif.
Brosif Stalin.
Broheim.
And also, the last thing, they showed a new Halo game that doesn't have a title. Master Chief's in the desert. He's wearing a cloak for no reason, even though he's got a
body. Oh my God.
He's a fucking Jedi. It's Jedi Spartan.
Aesthetically, it looked really cool. And I think the part that's most interesting to me is that the tagline is "Your journey begins." It's Master Chief in a desert looking at some kind of ancient technology. He looks beat to all fuck, and I thought to myself, I'd like to have just like a kind of exploratory space adventure with Master Chief on the edge of the universe, not dealing with, like, you know, political intrigues and wars and stuff, just like just being alone in space and kind of fucked. That sounds neat to me. If that's what it is, I'm interested.
Well, the problem that Master Chief suffers from is having the same enemies no matter where they're from or who they are.
And he can't take his helmet off.
Can't take his helmet off, apparently. And
his face will explode. You see Total Recall?
That's true. It's cracked. So there should be a timer in the game before your helmet
implodes. He does have a really sweet-ass cloak in this one. You don't know what the cloak can do.
But see, that's the thing. It's like he has a fucking robot. And yeah, and if you could say it's stealth, but they have stealth technology.
So why does he need a fucking cloak and his armor?
Because they needed some excuse to show you that you didn't know it was him.
He was just in an alien bazaar, and if he was wearing armor, they would have freaked the fuck out.
Because it was a trailer, that's why.
Yeah,
okay. No,
it's because it was a trailer.
EA conference.
Peter Moore... head of EA.
Fantastic suit.
Cool.
Best dress.
Cool guy.
Yeah.
He came out before the press conference started and was just shooting the shit, you know, no teleprompter.
Very unprofessional.
Making jokes about, like, Kotaku, like, hey, where's the Kotaku guys at, and all that.
He made some offhand
comment.
They're
like, feel free to do a bad review. You've got 2 minutes to do right now.
Yeah, you got 2 minutes to come up with reasons to not enjoy this conference.
Which is really funny.
But seriously, though, best dressed.
Like, best dressed, best attitude. You know,
best accent.
I think, if I remember correctly, I think he's been, you know, a stinker in the past, like most people, but
well, he's the guy who did the lame ass tattoo reveal.
Yeah,
for, GTA 4. I believe. Mm-hmm. Was it GTA 4?
Oh, I don't know. 3? I don't even know what that is.
It was so long ago.
What's GTA?
Grand Theft Auto.
So, how do we feel about Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare?
All right, I've only my Plants vs. Zombies experience is very minimal. But
did you like it?
I did.
Then
I played
everyone
all three
does.
On the phone. I played the entire game, got every achievement, so I like it a lot. This one looks awesome.
As like childish and cartoony as this looked, I really liked it for some reason. I can't explain why.
Had a TF2 kind of vibe to it.
Well, it was specifically supposed to be a tower defense version of, what was it, Battlefield?
It definitely had that sort of
Modern Warfare.
Well, I was like,
because Garden Warfare.
Sorry, Garden Warfare. It's called Garden Warfare.
Yeah,
and it's a parody of Modern Warfare,
which they kind of have balls to do.
Right. And it's pretty. It's like the game looks really good.
They even call them
like a drone strike and all sorts of stuff. So
yeah, I love PopCap.
They also showed Titanfall, obviously, because, you know, they made it.
Titanfall is a fantastic game.
So let's talk about Titanfall. Okay. What was the thing that they announced that you most
We screamed. We screamed a little bit.
I peed a little. We'll
mention this again in State of the Empire, probably, because Matt, you called it. You called it, man.
You're like, the only thing that would make this day worth it is that they announced a new Star Wars.
Well, you know, I actually was expecting something from Visceral Games, was not expecting it from DICE, which is the reason why it was only like a 15-second thing. It had to be like, they got that license from Disney like 3 weeks ago.
All right, boys.
Like, throw together a video, like anything.
It's probably from some trailer that's like, you just don't remember. From
yeah, and it was I bet DICE didn't have anything to do with it either. It was probably that firm that they always outsource.
So Battlefront, they're making a Star Wars Battlefront.
A tiny little teaser got the biggest reaction out of everything.
I almost said Star Trek Battlefront.
Now, the real question, I mean, like, the thing is so much is known about the version that never got released that it's already set a bar of what it has to do. It can't just be Battlefield, you know, doing its thing, you know, the traditional Battlefield. It's got to be the whole idea that Battlefront 3 was going to be able to... go from the ground to space without any sort of loading.
Right.
You have multiple theaters of war. Like, it's got to have everything. So DICE really has their, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll take their damn time on it. But hey, at least it's happening. We know what's up. You know, we could have guessed it was going to happen. It's just nice to know.
What do you think? Episode 7 or this game first?
I don't know. Well,
it looked like it was on Hoth.
What if this game is based on Episode 7?
Episode 7 is 2015, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll get this holiday 2014.
And it'll be a prequel to...
They did show a snow speeder.
It'll be... Oh, maybe it's going to branch to 7.
Maybe.
I
will say one of the appealing things about Battlefront has always been that they have four factions, technically. There's the Republic, Separatists, Empire, Rebellion.
Right.
And in multiplayer, you can like mix and match them against each other, but it's a whole variety of vehicles and soldier types and whatnot. And it's one of the few franchises that I think any fan can let the whole prequel era stuff coexist, because it is cool just to be able to have all that.
Yeah, whole army of Gungans. That would be great. Versus like Stormtroopers.
Okay, Ewoks. Boyo.
Can I play as Ewoks?
And they translate your language for you.
One of them you could shoot Ewoks. I remember that.
And I don't want to shoot Ewoks.
I want to be Ewoks.
You're a terrible person.
I want to set up traps for like a day.
What,
and walk into them.
What else? I mean, I guess the other thing was it was very EA Sports heavy.
Of course.
There was a lot of sports because that's what they do. Drake from Degrassi was there. He wasn't in a wheelchair anymore.
He loves FIFA.
Yeah, they apparently couldn't get a footballer out there, and so they pulled in Drake for no reason.
Didn't he say, like, I have nothing to do with this, but I'm just a guy who really likes, like, soccer.
Yeah, games. I mean, he
said that.
He was pretty blatant about it. Like, he wasn't pretending, like, I'm a total gamer, guys.
I was paid to be here, so here I am.
I mean, it's Drake. You better have paid that bitch to be here. Yeah.
He probably owed somebody money.
I mean, he was in a Sprite commercial, for God's sake. Pay the man.
The one sporty game worth note that we haven't touched on already is Need for Speed Rivals, which was
had a very
intriguing play style where you can play both as the racers and the police.
And use a tablet.
And the police are all driving fucking supercars. And
Which is that franchise's staple. But the difference being that it's like... super, I mean, they were super swanky looking.
Right.
In comparison and, to just and weird they, cars.
You can, I guess you can kind of like just drop into it. Like, say, like, you got my friend's playing Need for Speed Rivals. Yeah. Let's see how he likes this. And you just, boom, there you go. Totally. I'm a fucking cop.
Yeah, right. So here's the setup, right? We got a guy, he's playing Need for Speed and he's doing his thing and he's, I'm doing awesome. And then his buddy walks up to the tablet. Right, the other guy, right, and he's like, oh, well, you look like you're having fun, let me ruin your fucking day, here's some motherfucking helicopters and some spike strips, and here's some cops, and, you know, then they see he catches up to him and he just ruins his fucking playthrough.
Yeah.
It was, like, I love the idea that you control somebody in that game like that. And I hope that there's no game invites.
Like, it's just like, no permission. That would be it. Like that would be like Dark Souls, where just someone enters your world and like their whole purpose, they're going to try to kill you. You don't know where they are, they don't know where you are. But at some point, you're going to
meet. The way they described it, which I think is very telling, is single player, co-op, and multiplayer all in one.
Yeah, that's fucking cool. Amazing.
See, I would play that car game.
Dragon Age Inquisition. I was a surprise. I didn't expect new Dragon Age right now, and there it is.
Yeah, I kind of thought we'd see a new Mass Effect before we saw Dragon Age.
Well, they've had this one announced for a while. Like, website's been set up.
I've just been oblivious then.
The thing is, we don't really know... They didn't show any gameplay, so we don't really know if it's going to be good or bad.
I believe, if I remember correctly, it had the actual in-game footage on the bottom of the...
Did it?
Like, I think they were showing like that it was like, that's what it's going to be.
Because the second game was horrible, kind of.
I haven't played the second one yet, but I still love the first one, and I think they've learned their lesson.
I think it was in-game footage as well, actually, yeah.
I think it definitely said that's what
that was the other thing is, actually, I saw a lot, like, very little pre-rendered.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's not true. It is technically pre-rendered.
It's pre-rendered.
But I mean, it's...
They've gotten to the point where the cinema scenes are on par with what you're actually playing.
And they're also
really
made,
cool.
They're made with the engine, instead of with some big Hollywood ILM, you know, software.
And it looks like it's open. Well, they said it's open world, and
for the first time ever.
Right? And what it looks like is, it looks like Dragon Age is finally getting into the realm of Elder Scrolls, where it can actually tell a sweeping fantasy epic and not just some, you know, very linear story
like Elder Scrolls games. It's trying to do the same thing that Elder Scrolls has always done. It's fantasy world, but then it's, you know, a big open environment now. So it's how's that any different?
Except it's Dragon Age. Well, and also. I mean, I guess I don't know enough Elder Scrolls to know for sure, but, like, Dragon Age world is always...
I mean, it's different, obviously.
Towns seem more bustling, and there's, like, established, like, I mean...
It's BioWare doing Elder Scrolls scope, maybe.
Yeah. Well, what we do know... we do know that that team is not just working on Dragon Age. I do know that they're working on a Mass Effect, because all the people that were on the previous Mass Effect team are working on... more gameplay stuff, like, from scratch. So, because Dragon Age and Mass Effect kind of have this weird parallel development type thing, where the games are similar, just one's a fantasy version, the other one's kind of a sci-fi thing, they do work pretty well together. So we can assume the next Mass Effect will also be, for the first time ever, an open-world cloud computing tablet.
Yeah. And then big news, Mirror's Edge is coming back, coming when it's ready. Glorious trailer.
Oh my god.
And when the lights went up,
there was like a huge applause for the Mirror's Edge. That was the number one thing I saw. Well,
they were playing Faith by George Michael, because the main character's name is Faith.
I'm gonna throw this out here.
Yeah.
Not a Mirror's Edge fan.
What? Are you an asshole?
Brought it back to GameStop. Almost immediately.
Oh my god. You just alienated a lot of people.
I know.
Like me. I'll murder you. I know where you sleep.
If I knew it was that easy, I would have done that months ago.
The game is just one of those, it's so good. And it's like a cult game, but
it looks nice, but I could watch a movie for that.
No. No, I disagree.
It's a game that more so than many other games really makes me feel like it's a first-person game. So it's very exciting to me.
It's cool.
We'll see what happens.
But that being said, the trailer actually excited me. That was the point I was getting.
Okay.
So I did have an X boner.
Not a fan, but I got an X boner. And
Battlefield has destructible terrain on a Sony.
Because we didn't mention it in the Xbox one. Okay, in the EA conference, they actually had a multiplayer battle with 64 people on the stage. Yeah, that's mentionable.
Were they devs or were they professionals?
They were kids. They were like fucking 8 year olds somehow.
Ender's Game.
There were 64 people playing, two teams. It was obviously scripted.
There were 64.
It was like toys. It was exactly like General Zevo's, like, right. That was a real city. They actually bombed Shanghai today.
But if there's a recorded video of what happened, you should watch it, because they took down a huge skyscraper that you were jumping out of.
So it was approximately 64 Mopkinses.
I was actually more impressed with the idea that you could blow out
roads
from the subway to drop tanks and soldiers down a level. That was actually
a lot of terrain damage that they don't have.
And they didn't really, until the building dropped, they didn't really focus on it. But if you were watching, you'd be like, that wall just blew up. Is that just destructible terrain?
And everything
like,
is
and they're
destructible.
Like, yeah, guess what? You can kill a skyscraper.
and I think it actually counts on your kill score, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like a Battlefield skyscraper from like Battlefield 3. It's like, 30 stories. It was like a 100-story massive mega skyscraper.
And if you thought the game Mag was a good idea and, of course, poorly executed, this game has everything Mag had, but in a game that everyone actually will play.
Yeah, it looks really great. So Sony conference.
Sony!
Yep, Sony.
Games, though. Let's talk about Watch Dogs for a second. Can we?
Looks fantastic. I cannot wait to play
it. I'm getting it.
It is literally my most anticipated game. However, moving on quickly, it got bumped down really quick when we saw this guy getting like run down in the desert. At first we were like, could this be Fallout?
That guy looks kind of like you know, like diesel punk future stuff.
Yeah, they had like.
But
like
he also kind of looks like Mel Gibson for some reason.
Yeah, he had kind of like a half football player kind of pad.
Yeah, and it was like, this is a previously established
car,
like thing.
Right?
And it's like, boom, Mad Max game.
Holy shit, Mad Max!
We don't know what it is, but I love Mad Max, and that's fucking cool.
Like, I don't care if it's a fucking Farmville game. actually, that sounds pretty fucking cool, like an apocalyptic Farmville game. Don't make that.
It has to be good. Like,
no, they didn't show any gameplay.
I don't need gameplay, dude. It could be that trailer. Like, you press
that could
start,
be a movie.
It plays that trailer, and then it's done, and I it would
and
be
you
fucking
spent 50
game of the
bucks
year.
On it.
Game of the year. No, $100.
Laval will buy it no matter what, and I'll buy it under conditions.
only if Tina Turner's in it. But
we don't need another hero.
Okay.
All right. So important things.
Before we give people boners, really quick. Side note with the Mad Max, it is obviously tied to the film that's being produced. It's already pretty well into shooting, if not finished by now. We have a new Max Rockstansky and everything, and so,
yeah,
fuck yeah.
So Sony finally did their unveiling
yep.
of what their system looks like. And they did this huge thing in
PS4, finally.
What does it almost exactly look like?
X-Bone!
X-Bone.
Yeah, at first I thought like they were gonna make a joke.
Like throw it away.
No, they look
fucking same.
It's half matte,
half glossy.
Yep.
Thick like a VCR. The only difference is this one's cut at some very dynamic angles.
Which, by the way,
and that's fresh. I like
it. It's fresh, but here's what's kind of fucking stupid about it is where it's gonna go on your shelf.
Well, you can stand it straight up, though.
Lay down, and stand up.
If you stand it straight up, yeah, that's the other
It does also look a little bit like the Twin Towers.
Well,
specifically on
9/11. That's awkward. Yeah, it actually comes out, I think, on September 11th.
Never forget, man. Anyway,
the brand new they're going to do a release in the brand new Sony offices, right?
It is hair tugging and kind of embarrassing how much they look just like each other.
Yeah,
you would. Parents will be mistaken, sorely mistaken at the stores.
I might get the wrong system in the store when I go to buy it, because they look the same. Like, which one did I pick up off the shelf?
They need to consider, I don't know, a different paint job. Someone needs to go all out and dip into like the Nintendo 64's library of colors that they released this console
gold
in.
One.
I want a transparent green Donkey Kong edition. You know, like
I got the orange one.
Can we have fun with our consoles, like, actually, for once again? So, Matt's shaking his head.
No, fun's been outlawed in this town.
Damn it!
Sorry.
They both look like Laserdisc players. They both look
Let's be fair, it's VHS players, or VCRs. Laserdisc players are much bigger.
Yeah, that's correct.
So we should talk about the big fuck you they did.
Well, we did, didn't we? At the end of the conference, they took every issue people had with Microsoft and
said, but they did it. They were like, we can play used games. How about that?
We got a good chuckle, and then it started to get really awkward and weird. And
you don't need an internet connection.
Had that been Microsoft,
the crowd went wild, though.
Had that been Microsoft doing that, people would all of a sudden go, "Oh, evil Microsoft again, blah blah blah, being dicks." But you know, it's totally different because Microsoft made mistakes. When PlayStation had their big fuck up with their security and their credit cards and all those people's accounts being compromised, Xbox didn't come out with an ad campaign.
They did, actually, I think.
They didn't.
They did. They said, we've never been compromised like that.
No, I don't think they ever
I'm pretty
did.
Sure they did.
Actually, I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah.
That happened.
It did. It did. Oh, anyway. Believe it.
Post comments if it happened.
I'm going to need a clip.
The system is $100 cheaper than the Xbox.
Okay, yeah, but it's probably going to have three or four versions.
One with a tablet and one without a tablet.
I mean, just like they did before. You know, that's the game and hardware.
The baseline version, the one you probably don't want, is the one that's $399.
Right.
But the same could be said for the X-Bone. They just showed one version for $499.
And then $599. And then $699.
Yeah.
So what Sony games, though? Like, really?
That Sorcerer game. Whatever it was, it's all I need.
There was
a Quantic Dream... thing. They said on the 11th we're gonna find out about it. We gotta figure out what it is. It was this amazing trailer, a sorcerer. It looked like Quantic Dream was doing a hard fantasy thing, and then it turned into like this like comedy. But no matter what
it was an actor against a green screen flubbing his lines. I really hope it's not another year in the movies.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It's that shitty game that uses that
but he was rendered so well, his facial expressions and the acting, that it was amazing. No, it wasn't a real person.
No, I know, but the scan.
Mocap.
Yeah, but it was done so well. It was done so well.
Yeah,
it's Blade Runner, man.
It looked great. I don't know what it is, but they have my attention. It was obnoxious that they didn't just flat out tell me what it was, but they have my attention.
We'll have to check it out on the floor.
It was called Sorcerer something. It was actually, unless that was part of the fakeness of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, but
was that kind of like a blooper reel they did, and maybe the game is that? Well, I don't know.
I hope it's not, because I hate when a serious game doesn't take itself seriously. If it's more like a Fable type game, then okay, I get it, but.
But they said we'll find out more on the 11th.
You know what? And we will let you guys know exactly what happens. Yeah. We're going to have video of it.
And the 11th is tomorrow/today.
Right. So. And if it turns out to be BS, Matt Spill already promised to flip a fucking table right there.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Jesus.
Exactly. The entire display is going.
That table.
Yeah, what was with Sony's weird god and, like, god arms? Like, there's a big chubby arm coming out of one end and then, like, another arm, and it was, like, holding the screen.
Their graphics were abysmal.
We get closer and closer to God as the systems get better. I do
see soon in the future there being a Sony box, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, we're getting closer to the PlayStation 12, right? Mm-hmm. Was it 12? One that goes in your head?
Like the jelly that 13. There was 13.
13, yeah, the
yeah,
one that
PS,
goes...
PS 13, yeah. The one that goes in your head.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like some kind of jelly.
No, that was a marketing campaign.
I remember that. That's right. They need that guy back. Because he didn't make shitty PowerPoint presentations.
The other Quantic Dream game looked interesting, I suppose. Tagging back to Microsoft, there's a Remedy game Quantum Break. Looks actually kind of a lot like Quantic Dream's... Quantic Dream stuff. And cool, time manipulation. That's just tagging back. Just want to mention it because Remedy's awesome, and that game looks great.
They mentioned there's this really cool thing they were calling cloud streaming, because cloud is another word everyone was using, where they'd have a whole library of games, and instead of downloading them, you'd be able to play them instantly by just like selecting them. So that's cool. So if there's a lot, you know, if there's a huge game library and you're sick of downloading shit, you just play it right then and there, which is neat. And they mentioned that.
And Xbox does that as well with up to like 10 family members or something stupid.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're opening up the console a little bit, so like everything we thought was wrong wasn't so wrong, but still kind of wrong.
They mentioned Diablo 3 was coming.
Diablo 3,
you know,
yeah.
Whatever. exclusive shit, whatever.
Right, you won't be able to play it.
Elder Scrolls Online is coming, but it's not an exclusive. They just said the beta would be an exclusive for PlayStation Plus members, which I don't know what that means. Whatever, I guess. Okay.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I like that it's going to be on PS4. But...
You will now have to play, just like, you now have to have a paid account to play multiplayer, just like Xbox Gold. Mm. You have to do that now, that's confirmed.
Which sucks, but...
They didn't say it during the press conference, they said it afterwards.
But again, these services are expensive to operate.
Yeah, no, also, so it's completely understandable.
And when they sell, remember, they were taking a loss on their consoles.
And this one's even cheaper, so it's crazy the amount they're probably losing on every system sold. I mean, this system is way more powerful than a PS3, and it's even cheaper than a PS3.
Also, talking about Moore's Law, right? Not Peter Moore, but, you know, the other Moore.
Yeah.
Not
Roger.
Roger Moore. And, you know, as things go, you know, technology gets better, they get more powerful, yet smaller.
As you get older, the women get sexier.
Yep, like a fine wine.
Oh no, I don't want that to happen.
Like a fine wine.
We can't end this without talking about the last thing they showed. The last game.
Yeah.
Which is Mad Destiny.
Max, oh.
Yes. Destiny.
Sorry, my brain shut off after Mad Max.
Bungie.
Destiny. Bungie. Activision. You know, Bungie has a great legacy of games. You know, you dismiss Halo if you will. I stand behind it as being like a fun game. The reason it works so well is that they found a great fusion of what works for an FPS.
First time ever, open world.
Not to twist the knife. I just don't want it to turn out to be another Colonial Marines. Where you were promised something in a trailer, you were promised something in a concept.
But there's levels.
And it turns out to be shitty FPS.
Yeah, well, the promises for Destiny are grand. There's a very detailed, very cool story about the end of humanity and its potential rise. And there are things they're saying where there's RPG elements, that the game could go on forever and continually be building.
Well, what kind of games did we say it was like? It was like Borderlands. It was like Borderlands meets Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
Meets Fallout. Meets Halo.
Meets...
If there's one thing you can say about it, the scenes, like the settings, were just gorgeous and to a detail I've never seen before in a game.
Well, Half-Life, it reminded me a lot of Half-Life 2.
Yeah, Half-Life 2 is really good. Yeah. But anyway,
no, that's a compliment. I'm not saying it wasn't never done before.
No, you know, I was thinking about it. That faces me thinking about it. You're right.
For people that haven't seen the trailer yet,
it has that kind of lush
its
quality.
Style. Yeah, it brings to you like you can actually feel the warmth of the sunlight had you been playing.
But those rendered distances were really impressive
with all the pipes and the shit in the building. Oh.
You know what I liked was the Tally Zora character there.
The Quarians, yeah.
She's like a marine nun?
They're all
like
Quarians.
An army nun or something?
Yeah, she's an army nun.
It's been already criticized for having character designs that were way too Mass Effect influenced. But
regardless, the texture and everything was good. It was very fantastic.
It promises different, you know, it's all first person, but promises different classes you can play as combine a little bit of magic with the science fiction that's, you know, fun. You could say, you know, maybe biotics, but Arthur C. Clarke is famous for saying that the difference between, you know, magic and science is that magic is science we haven't understood yet. And I think that that's really what this game is all about.
The sun is a god. Just saying.
They all had critical hits.
Yeah, they had critical hits. They had levels. They showed enemy levels. There were different guns you could get from bosses. I mean, it had RPG elements. It had, like, fully customizable guns and things like that.
But so does Call of Duty.
Don't get me started on
that. But it does, though, right? I mean, you can't just say, well, it's got RPG elements, so that makes it an RPG. That makes it good.
It may have RPG elements that extend beyond combat building.
I would like to have seen
we'll
that.
We'll see.
Call of Duty's just deathmatch multiplayer.
We've got a long appointment with Activision tomorrow. Hopefully we'll see a lot more.
It's like 2 hours.
Yeah, so. It's involved. It's involved.
And also tomorrow we're also going to get a behind closed doors, rather, look at, I believe it's The Witcher.
Yep, The Witcher 3.
Witcher Trace.
Yeah. Lots of exciting stuff. Tomorrow, we're definitely going to hit on Nintendo. Their announcements are finally going to come out about what the big reveals are for Nintendo. If this is the first time anybody's ever done anything like this, this year, Best Buys across the United States and Canada, you will be able to actually play some, if not all, of Nintendo's E3 demos at Best Buy. For the first time ever. But this time, really, for the first time ever. Nintendo.
First time ever in your open world.
Nintendo's last press conference was a complete disappointment. It was so anticlimactic. It was a total shit fest. And this time they said, we're not doing it. We're just doing Nintendo Direct. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but they are at least attempting to change the game. This is going to make or break the success of the Wii U this year and whether or not they can pull themselves out of the gutter. EA aren't making any games for them. This is serious for Nintendo.
Like, bad enough that they've released a statement about it.
Yeah, bad enough that the what's-his-face made some snide comments about it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, it was he didn't say Nintendo, he just said, you know.
Yeah, he said it was like Xbox and PS4, and then, like, winked.
Yeah.
Like, left the space for Nintendo.
And didn't say anything.
Didn't say shit.
Yeah.
He farted. Like, he let out a really good one. Right.
So, you know, I love what Nintendo's capable of. Yeah. The Wii U I've never felt good about it, ever. We'll see if maybe they can pull off something different. So that concludes this episode. Stay tuned for the E3 starts now. So stay tuned for our 3 days of coverage, podcast every day, videos, all Nerdy Show and Bleeding Cool. Nerdy Show is a listener-supported podcast. We couldn't travel out to LA from Orlando to do this stuff if it wasn't for you guys showing us some love. If you like this coverage, if you like what we do, and you want to support this show and the other shows on the network, please contribute to Nerdy Show. We got a support link, well, all over the page. And if you do, we send you perks in the mail. So thanks so much for listening. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Brandon.
Bye, I'm Matt.
Bye, I'm Jonna.
And I'm Jonna Lavelle.
Hey bro, thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is made possible by A Comic Shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by, like, telling a friend and rating and reviewing us on iTunes or making a contribution to our monthly support drives, right? Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in, you know? For more episodes of Nerdy Show, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos, like articles, and like more, like, you head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all our totally tubular Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. Yay!